Jesus heals and Shelby is sitting in our service with a broken foot. It's not broken, but it's really sore. Has anyone prayed for it yet? Okay, tell us how it does. Everyone right now, put a hand towards Shelby's foot. Send the telekinesis powers. No, it's nothing to do with that. It's just a prayer of faith. And everyone pray right now. In Jesus' name, I command this foot to be healed. Okay, tell us how it does next week, okay? And then Shelby will be back and she'll be like dancing on one foot. And be like, woo, look what you did. I'm going to take my badge off because it's really annoying. Okay, how are you guys doing this morning? Okay, are you guys riveted by the prospect of listening to me speak again? Are you guys melted with excitement? So I'm going to speak to this morning on something which I speak on quite a lot because it's probably the most exciting thing for me personally. What's your guys' favorite speaker? You're not like in the universe. I wasn't fishing for compliments there. Jesus. Can't say Jesus, although that's good. David Sliker. He's really cool. Do you guys know who David Sliker is? His last name is Sliker, which is awesome. If it was Striker, it would be even better. But yeah, I haven't heard him laugh or say anything funny, but he is very cool. Yes. I listened to the boy one. It was so good. We're talking about a youth pastor called David Sliker, who was the youth pastor at IHOP. And he gave like a guy-girl talk. It's kind of weird that he did the girl talk too. But he did the guy talk and talked about like how men need to be like Jesus and honor women. And it was amazing. And it made my heart go on fire. It was really good. My favorite speaker probably in the world is Chris Vallotton. Have you guys ever heard of him? Yeah. Wave at me strangely if you've heard him. He is very, very, very cool. I'm going to talk about something today which, when he spoke at Heavy Rain 2 years ago, he gave a message which completely transformed my life and changed everything about how I lived. Okay, go skip to the first slide. This is the boring part of the slide, which needs to be there, but you don't need to read. Next bit. Okay, I believe, I'm going to make a bit of a statement here, guys, and I want you guys to catch it, okay? And it's quite an important thing, actually. I believe that your battle in life is not to earn anything for yourself. I don't believe that you guys, any of you guys, I don't think you are responsible to win or fight for, now you need to put this in context, anything for yourself. I don't believe that it's your guys' responsibility to make yourself a son of God. I don't believe that it's your guys' responsibility to become the bride of Christ. Don't go and buy a wedding dress to be the bride of Christ. That's not how it works. You guys don't need to fight to make yourself free from sin. You guys don't need to fight to make yourself favored in God's eyes. You don't need to win any of this stuff. Okay, here's Sunday school. Who did that for you? Quickest. You were good in Sunday school. Well done. Jesus has won the battle for you. Your guys' battle in life is to actually live in and experience what has been won for you. Put your hand up if you think you experience and live in everything which Jesus has done for you. Basically, are you perfect is what I'm asking. Wave at me, perfect people. No, Daniel Mitchell's good. Waving. No, none of us are perfect. That is our fight in life, though. Jesus has won an awful lot more for you and me than we experience on a day-to-day basis. And your fight in life, what you have to try and do with the grace of God and with his journey and his leading you is live in what you already have. Do you guys understand that you have an awful lot, but you live in a little bit of it? Do you guys want to live in more of what's been won for you today? I'm going to talk about part of it. Before I was born, put your hand up if your parents asked God for your name. Did anyone else ask Jonathan? Naomi? Naomi means beautiful delight, which is definitely true of you. So high five. God will show me the way. That's pretty awesome. Imagine being like, I don't know what I'm doing in life. Jesus. And your literal name is God will show me the way. You don't have much excuse for a lack of faith, Jesse. I'm just kidding. God is my judge. That's frightening, but cool. So that's good. Basically, my parents, before I was born, they asked God for my name, and they both got the same name. But at the same time, so they got David, obviously. But they also got a word. My dad heard God say to him, David will understand my grace more than you did. That's a bit of an intense statement. So that was before I was born. I was probably still an egg in my mother's oviduct. So I was not a human being yet. Kind of was in the heart of God. I wasn't born yet. Before I was born, God said something about me to my father. Did you guys know that you've existed in God's heart long before you've been alive on this earth? God has been thinking about you for eternity. So God gave this word. He said, David's going to know my grace more than you did. What is the grace of God? Does anyone know? You're like staring at me like, I don't know. What do you guys think the grace of God is? Anyone want to give me a definition? One of the most common, yes? always give me a second chance. That's definitely part of it. Grace is like a, you definitely can't define it in one sentence. I'm going to give one really commonly well-known definition of grace. The grace of God is the unmerited favor and blessing of God. Grace basically means getting something you don't deserve. Okay? So before I was born, follow my logic, before I was born, God said about me to my father, he's going to be someone who understands what I have given him. Does that make sense? Do you guys understand what I just said? So now look at this verse, 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. What do you think the spirit which is of God is? You have received the spirit which is of God, lives within you. So now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that's the Holy Spirit, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Do you guys realize that that verse is basically saying you need God to understand all that God has given you? God has given you so much you can't even understand it without him helping you. So I read this verse recently and I remembered what my dad had heard from God before I was born, that David was going to be someone who understood what I have given to him. He's going to understand my grace. And then this verse talks about all the things that you've been freely given in God. Today I'm going to talk about one thing which you have been freely given in God. And when I first heard it, it completely transformed me. Okay, tell you guys a story. Have you guys ever had a really cool, put up your hand if you've heard God speak to you before. It's cool. That's most of us. That's really cool. So I've heard God speak to me quite a few times, and sometimes I hear him kind of quietly. Has anyone ever heard God very loudly before? Like sometimes you hear people who they've heard the audible voice of God. John Shunker in the shower. Who knows John Shunker? John Shunker in the shower one day, God just says, John, audibly. And he was like, oh! Like, so that's pretty cool. I don't have a story like that. But basically, I believe that I hear God on the inside of me. Sometimes he'll speak out loud. I've never heard him speak out loud. But sometimes I hear it kind of faintly. Sometimes I hear it kind of normally. Sometimes I hear what some people call the internal audible voice, where it's like you hear God on the inside of you, but it's so strong and so powerful, it's like it actually shocks you and you have to kind of stop. One day I was reading a Bible verse in John chapter 5. Read it with me here quickly, everyone. So I was reading this verse, like I was just reading this just like normal day. And it's a pretty cool story. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick in Capernaum. Okay, imagine you are a royal official 2,000 years ago. Your son is dying at home. You've heard that there's a man called Jesus who's walking through and everyone who touches his clothes is healed. You've heard about this man and you go and find him. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son who was close to death. So his son, probably the person he loved more than anyone else, was inches from death. And then Jesus said, unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. So the guys basically asked him, Jesus, can you please come with me quickly and heal my son because he's about to die? Jesus didn't do that. Instead he said, go, basically go home. Jesus replied, go, your son will live. And then it says this, the man took Jesus at his word and departed. Now, as soon as I read that, those words, you know how some people say they leapt off the page? The words didn't leap off the page. They were still on the page. But I kind of like felt in my heart like, oh my goodness. And I heard God say really, really, really loudly within me to the point it actually like shocked me. As soon as I read that, the man took Jesus at his word and departed. God said to me, if only my people would take me at my word and believe what I have said to them and about them in my word. And I felt it like, whoa! And that started a massive, so like 2-year-long journey, which is still going, of me discovering what God actually has said to me about me in his word. Basically, God was saying there, if we'll just take him at his word like this guy did, if we'll just simply believe what Jesus said, your son is going to be healed. And the guy says, okay, I believe you. And he turns around and goes home. If he's wrong, my son is dead. But I believe you. I take you at your word and I go on my way. What has God said to you about you in his word? And will you take him at his word? Will you believe him? Someone tell me something which God has said about you in his word. Something in the Bible which applies to you. Something about your identity, something about how God feels about you, anything. Something which God has said about you, concerning you, which you want to believe. Yes, Leah? We are heirs of God. So that's cool. Heirs of God. I don't even really fully understand it. What do you think that means, slightly? That is a very good description. Leah basically said, Jesus, to be an heir basically means that you inherit something from a father. So you're a son. So Leah basically said, just like Jesus is an heir of God, we've also become an heir. So that means one thing, means you and I are sons and daughters of God. She also said that we have the power of God because we're an heir. And she also said that we have eternal life because we're an heir. Now, Leah has a choice when she sees that. She knows that. Put up your hand if you believe with that statement from what you've read, what you just believe in your heart, from what you've... So, we have, and I'm going to give you a situation, with Shelby's foot here. Shelby, I'm bringing it back to you. It's all about you this morning. It's all about Jesus, just kidding. But we believe, put up your hand again if you believe you're an heir of God. Put up your hand if that gives you the power of God, or means the power of God is in your life. Yeah? More hands are up. So, when you're confronted with a situation like Leah's foot is hurt or broken, and you hear God say to you, go and pray for her, not Leah, sorry, Shelby, pray for her foot because I want to heal it through you. When that happens, you have a choice. What is your choice? You either something or you something. You either do it or you don't. You either believe it or you don't. You either take Jesus at his word or you don't. Another situation, God says you're a son or a daughter. Zoe Bootsma, God says you're his daughter and he delights in you. Anyone else in the room, that is true of you. Jesse, God says you're his son and he loves you. He delights in you. Do you guys believe that? Do you guys take him at his word when he says that? Do you guys realize that means you're never alone? You're never rejected. You're always accepted. You are beautiful. It means the parts of you which you hate, the parts of you which you can barely think about or look at, those parts you God loves and delights in and wants to bring out of you. Do you guys believe that? Do you guys see how our whole life revolves around what God says about us and whether or not we take him at his word, whether or not we believe him? So basically, I came to the school of ministry like 2 years ago. Before I came to the school of ministry, you guys have heard this story so many times. I was living really ungodly life, didn't really know God. When I came to the school of ministry, I discovered much of what God said about me. And in many ways, I took him at his word. I believed that I was an heir of God, that I had the power of God. I saw crazy things. I saw a person whose foot was going to be amputated the next day. Me and some other people prayed for it, and it got completely healed. I heard that I was a son of God, a beloved son, where I had been rejected for most of my life. I believed that, and he came and showed me that in my heart, and I got completely transformed. I heard that I was the bride of Christ. I heard all these cool things, that Jesus desires me, delights in me, that he thinks I'm beautiful, that he won me, that he fought for me, that he comes after me, that he pursues me. I heard all of these things, and I believed all of these things. I took him at his word. But there was one part of what God said about me in his word, which I had not yet heard, which I had not yet understood. And that's what I'm going to talk to you guys about today. And it's, for me, it's proved one of the most important things I've ever realized. I'm about to tell you guys something about yourself. I'm about to echo God about you. Probably, this is a big statement, probably the most important thing God has ever said to you. That's a really big statement. It is definitely one of the most important things God has ever said about you. So I believed that I was a son. I believed that the power of God. I believed that all these cool things. Go on to the next slide. There was one thing I didn't really understand, though. When I was a teenager, put up your hand if you've ever sinned. That was a good, I have sinned. I've sinned. We've all sinned. When I was a teenager, I'm no longer a teenager, by the way, guys. I'm the big 2-0. You guys better start taking me seriously, because I'm not a teenager anymore. But for most of my teenage years, I was stuck and I was trapped in sin. I couldn't get out of it. The reason that I was stuck and I was trapped in sin was because I didn't know a part of what God said about me, and so I couldn't believe him. Do you guys know you can't believe something you haven't heard? You can't believe in something if you don't know what it is. So I'm going to tell you guys something about yourself, which maybe you didn't know before. I didn't know this when I was 10, 11, 12, 13. And because I didn't know it, I couldn't believe it. And because I couldn't believe it, I stayed trapped in sin for many, many, many years. And I tried a lot of things to get out of it. Have you guys ever tried? Have you guys ever had like a hard moment in your life and it's like, I'm going to read the Bible, that'll make things better? Has anyone ever done that? Life is going badly. Doomf! You don't just get like the small like pocket Bible. You get like the New King James Study Bible, like, fudoomf! And then you read something, and then life is better now. God says this about me. So I would try like, and I would try worshiping, hallelujah. But many things, like nothing really worked. Nothing got me free of the sin which I was struggling with. And it's because I didn't understand this part of what God said about me. Okay, read this verse. It might not make full sense the first time we say it, but I'll explain it more. This is the part of me and the part of you which I had no idea about when I was your age, which God has now shown me and I'm now believing, and it's now incredible. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24 in the New King James Version, brackets, says this. Put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Okay, I'm going to explain quickly what that means, but I want you guys to be involved. What, does anyone have any idea what that might mean? Is that complete gobbledygook? That's such a good word, gobbledygook. Leah, what do you think that means in part? Come and tell us on the mic. Come and run up here. And I want, John Hines, I'm going to ask you for your opinion on anything which this verse could mean after this. So you've got a countdown of maybe 20 seconds to get life-changing, transformational revelation. You guys think for yourself. Look at this verse. What does this mean? What does it mean for you?
It does smell.
It's really bad.
So I just wanted to try it. Okay, so basically, we were sinful, but now that we're Christians, we're like all our sin is gone, right? But if we still live in our sin, then we're kind of like stuck in our sin. So basically, I think this verse is saying like, make sure that you believe that you've like God cleansed you, kind of thing. Yeah.
Definitely. Thanks, Leah. With verses like this, when I'm teaching, like when anyone's teaching, don't just believe what I say because I'm the person with this electronic contraption in my hand. I encourage you guys to think what you think and have your own opinion about what the Bible says. John, what do you think?
A new creation.
Okay. Okay. Okay, that's good. I'm going to go with that. So, can you guys see there are two you's in this verse? If this verse is talking about you, there are two you's. The what you and the what you. The new you. The old you and the new you. Can you guys see there's two you's in here? Put off concerning the former conduct, the old man. And then at the bottom it says, put on the new man. So there are two, Shelby, what do you want to say? New, you, it does, you're right. Thank you for pointing that out. This verse basically says there are two yous. Put up your hand if you think this verse is saying you're all schizophrenic. No, it's not. So this verse needs some understanding. This verse says there's two yous. There's the old you and the new you. This verse is basically saying, before you accepted Jesus, you were one way. After you accepted Jesus, you are now another way. Put your hand up if you've accepted Jesus. Okay, put your hand down. That means that before you accepted Jesus, in your nature, the very core of you, put up your hand if you think you're a sinner. Put up your hand if you think you're a sinner. Okay, put your hand down. I don't believe you guys are a sinner. I believe that you guys sin and that I sin, but I don't believe that the core who you are, person of who God has made you to be, is a sinner anymore. I believe that you guys are a saint instead, which means holy believer. Do you guys remember me talking about Chris Vallotton? When Chris Vallotton came, he said something which absolutely transformed my life. He said, if you believe you're a sinner, and by that I mean you believe the core of who you are, your inner identity is someone who sins. If you believe that, he said, if you believe you're a sinner, you will sin by faith. Do you guys understand what that means? If you guys believe that who you are is a sinner, your belief about yourself will come out in your actions. That's why I couldn't get free of sin. I knew what I was doing was wrong, but I believed that the core of who I was someone who sins. And so I acted out what I believed about myself. Boys, this verse is saying that you are no longer a sinner in terms of your identity. This is saying that the old you is a sinner, but the new man was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Because you've accepted Jesus, you are no longer a sinner by nature anymore, but the inside of you is as righteous and holy as God is. Do you guys understand that? Do you guys understand that Jesus didn't just kind of like just forgive you? You didn't just get by. Jesus forgave you, but he completely transformed you, like John said, to be a new creation. So that the core of who you are is no longer inclined towards sin, but the core of who you are is now inclined towards righteousness. Because on the inside, Abigail Hines, David Ross, John Wiseman, Virginia Chambers, Leah Malusis, everyone in this room, if you've accepted Jesus, on the inside, you are as holy and righteous as God is. Can you guys tell me why that's important? If I had known that and believed that at age 15 when I was stuck in sin, what difference do you think that would have made? What do you think, Jesse? I'd be out of sin faster. I'd be out of sin straight away, in my opinion, because that's what happened when I was 18. Guys, I have good news for you. You guys are not stuck in sin. I'm going to explain this more a little bit. Let's go on really quickly. So do you guys get that? The person you are, put up your hand if you believe you're a sinner by nature. So before that was all of you guys. Someone tell what you are instead. What are you by nature? Which one of you guys is Vanessa? I haven't actually met you technically, but I know your name, which is kind of creepy, but it's because I asked someone else. Vanessa, what are you? If you're not a sinner, what are you? You're a saint, which means you're a holy believer, which means who you are on the inside is as holy and righteous as God is. Do you believe that? That's what the Bible says, so that's cool. Okay, I'm going to explain how that happened a little bit. Before you accepted Jesus, you were a slave of sin. Did you guys realize that you used to be a slave? Many of you guys didn't realize that. Okay, now, you guys have to get this part. For the purposes of this analogy, I am going to say that I am sin. This does not count outside of this analogy. I am not, okay? We need to be clear. You guys can't come up and just, like, call me sin. My name is David, and I am not the embodiment of sin, because Jesus became that for me. So, for this analogy, I'm going to say I represent sin, okay? You guys, the Bible says before you accepted Jesus, you were slaves of sin. So in this analogy, I am representing sin. You guys are my slaves. What does that mean? If I say, Abigail, do 500 push-ups right now. Abby has no choice. She has to do five. If I say, Abby, stand in your head and do a neck push-up. That's impossible. Basically, the point I'm trying to make is that if I'm your master and you're my slave, you have to do what I tell you to do. You don't have a choice. Okay? Take questions after. Okay, let's actually make this like a one-on-one. Virginia, okay? Let's say I'm your master, you're my slave, okay? So say like I'm like chilling in my house. I'm like, Virginia, I want a coffee. Go get me one, okay? So you go out the house. You have no choice. You have to go and get me a coffee. Do you still have the choice to breathe when you want to breathe? Yes, you do. Do you still have the choice to brush your teeth in the morning, unless I specifically say you can't? Can you still make your own decisions? Yes. But am I still your master? Are you still my slave? That is what it was like before you accepted Jesus. You guys had free will before you accepted Jesus. You could choose to do this. You could choose to go to Walmart. You could choose to clean your teeth every morning or not clean your teeth every morning. You could choose to shower every morning or not shower every morning. You guys had your own choice. But regardless of what you chose, you are my slave and I am still your master. Do you guys understand that analogy? That's what it was like before you accepted Jesus with you in sin. You guys could choose this, you could choose that, you could choose to read your Bible if somehow you read your Bible before you accepted Jesus. You could choose to do anything you wanted to do, but that didn't change the fact that sin was your master. Do you guys get that? So no matter what you do, no matter what you did before Jesus, you couldn't get out of sin. You were always enslaved by it. That's what I was living like when I was 15, 16. Even though I was a Christian, I hadn't heard this, so I couldn't believe it, so I was living as if I wasn't one. Okay, go on to the next verse for me, someone, or the next slide. This is Paul talking about that. He's basically talking about before he accepted Jesus, he's like, I wanted to do what was good, I wanted to do what was right, but I was a slave of sin, slave was my master, and I couldn't get free of sin. This is describing me when I was 15 years old. I was doing what was wrong. I said, I don't want to do this. But I couldn't get free of it. Listen to this verse. See if you can understand what it means. For I do not the good I want to, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but is the sin living in me that does it. Do you guys understand that? Paul is basically saying, I want to do what's right, but whenever I try, I end up doing what's wrong. That means that because I want to do what's right but can't, it's not me who's doing the sin, but it's the sin which is living in me. Remember how I talked about you guys were a sinner before you accepted Christ by nature? There was sin on the inside of you, and you couldn't get free of it. So that's how it used to be. That's the bad news. That's the downer. That's the depressing part of this sermon. It's about to get better. That is no longer the case. That is no longer true. I have amazing news for you guys. Can you imagine how much it must have been? Can you picture how bad that is to be a slave of sin? Can you guys think of anything worse? Sin, which is the thing which kills you, the thing which separates you from God, your creator, the thing which actually causes all the disease in your physical body, this horrible thing, you couldn't get free of it. Can you picture how bad that is? That is no longer true of you. That is the most amazing news. Jesus didn't just forgive you, he set you free. Let's go into the next verse. So that's how we used to be. But it's no longer true. Woohoo! The reason I'm talking about this is because lots of Christians, like me, still think that is true. Lots of people who have accepted Jesus still think that they're a sinner on the inside. They still think that they can't get free from sin. That's because they haven't heard what the Bible says. You guys are in such a good position. You're literally where I was 3, 4, 5 years ago, and you are literally getting to hear what I wish I could have heard. This verse is talking about how things are now different. What a wretched man I am. He's basically talking about how before Jesus, I couldn't get out of sin. What a wretched man I am or was. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Such quite a dramatic sentence, but it's a dramatic subject. So, thanks be to God who delivered me through Jesus Christ our Lord. That basically means things are so bad I can't get free of sin, but Jesus has set me free. Romans 8:2 says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. It means it's no longer true of you guys. The reason I couldn't stop sinning was because I didn't understand this. So I'm going to say one more verse. Go into the next slide for me. We're nearly done today. Is there another slide person? This is one of the most intense verses. I'm going to explain one more thing really quickly, and then we're going to end and pray. Do you guys understand kind of the whole gist of what I've been saying today? That it's a question of who you are on the inside. You are already free from sin. It's just a case of, at the start, taking Jesus at his word and believing it. That thing which you can't stop doing, but you want to stop doing, you don't have to do it anymore. If you choose to believe, actually, on the inside, I'm righteous like God is righteous. I don't have to sin. If you believe that about yourself, if you see yourself in that way, if you look in the mirror and you don't see a sinner, but you see a saint, then you're going to start acting like a saint and you'll be free of everything you want to be free of. Okay, this verse talks about what Jesus did for us on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Do you guys understand that that verse doesn't just say, Jesus died to forgive your sins. That verse actually says Jesus became sin. Do you realize that when Jesus was on the cross, he literally became sin, and then he died. So you were forgiven for your sin. But it actually says more than that. It says, so Jesus became sin on the cross, so that this could happen. In him, we might become the righteousness of God. If you've accepted Jesus, you have become the righteousness of God. On the inside of you, you are not a sinner, but you are righteous as God is righteous. And all you need to do is choose to say no to sin and yes to Jesus, and you are completely free. And God sees you as pure and holy and blameless. Isn't that good news? Okay, we're going to pray today. Later on, it's maybe not. Actually, you know what? Not later on. If you, by yourself, don't tell anyone, but within yourself, between you and God, if there is something in your life, whether it's sin or whether it's just a bad habit or whether you want to be more like this, but you're struggling, any area of your life where you feel like you're not living like a saint, but you want to, just because you want to, not because you have to, acknowledge that in your heart and ask God to come and help you, take him at his word and believe what he says about you, because when you do that, you'll live free. So let's all pray together, guys. God, I thank you for the truth of the awesomeness of what you've done for us on the cross. Jesus, I thank you for every person who is in this room. I thank you that all of us, including myself, who have accepted Jesus, thank you that we're no longer sinners. Thank you that we're not dirty. Thank you that we're not inclined towards sin. Thank you that we're not going to be condemned before you, God. But thank you that everyone in this room is a saint. Thank you that everyone in this room, who they are on the inside, is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. I pray that you would help everyone in this room to say yes to who you've made them to be, to say no to the old man, and to say yes to the new man, that you'd help us to live a life of holiness and of purity and of righteousness unto you, God. I pray that in their hearts right now, anyone in this room who's got a specific thing they want to get free of, God, I just pray you'd give them the grace to walk in the freedom that you gave them. Jesus, we thank you, we glorify you, and I bless everyone here to know all that you've done for them. In Jesus' name, amen.